You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Week three of OTAs. The second of four practices. So we've got nothing tomorrow, and then the next two are Thursday and Friday. Correct, sir?
That's right. You got the mandatory mini camp the following week, and the 10th through the 12th.
And then that wraps it up. Interesting comments that Justin Gilbert is making to the media. How about the one in which he is basically telling reporters, yeah, I'd rather cover Josh Gordon than Andrew Hawkins.
Other way around.
I'd rather cover Andrew Hawkins than Josh Gordon, which is – I mean, I guess in some ways understandable, but, you know, think about it.
Maybe
that.
I confuse you. You said it. He would rather be covering Gordon.
He wants Josh.
Yes.
Because the little guy with the speed is.
That's what he said. He said he's too quick and fast. He'd rather be the leading receiver in the NFL.
Historically, the guy who had the season off the charts, he wants that guy to cover.
Well, listen, it's certainly.
That's a bold rookie
statement.
It
is a bold rookie statement. I don't know. But I think the point he's trying to make, and it's one that we all watch when you're out there, is that Andrew Hawkins is a nightmare to try to lock up one-on-one and can get open just about at will out of the slot, especially even when lined up out wide sometimes. So fast in and out of his breaks. Jitterbug quickness, unbelievable to watch. You see it, catches everything. He's on the ground. He's over his shoulder. He catches everything that he needs to. But that's a strong statement. I think you could praise him without saying that I would rather, you know, rather cover Josh Gordon than Andrew Hawkins. I mean, Josh Gordon's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting way to put it. I get his point, though, with regard to Hawkins and the difficulty of at least what he's looked like in OTAs. And look, in the best-case scenario, if this guy is doing that consistently, he can give you your, quote, Wes Welker factor. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You want that kind of player. I'm not saying he's going to be Wes for this team. Few people are Wes at his best. But that is they're almost impossible to cover, those routes. Because of their low center of gravity, the kinds of routes they run, those are meant to be almost uncoverable because you're more worried about what's behind them, yet they can move chains far enough, get low to the ground, catch those very – you know, low to the ground types of passes with great hand scoop ability, and then turn around and make some plays. I think the difference between him and a Welker is that when he gets some feet under him, Hawkins is gone. I mean, he's like a lightning bug. Question does is staying in one piece because he is so small. You can see for sure the dangers there of him, you know, dealing with the contact and the hits, but he is, has been one of the very true bright spots of this preseason. You heard Coach Mike Pettine talk about it. Everyone who's watched practices, the expectation is that this guy will do something maybe special. And look, I hearken back to a year ago. We were saying about Devon Best just being open, catching passes in this pitch and catch environment that OTAs are. But I would say that the difference I see in the two of them right now with Hawkins is
a speed factor.
There's
quicker even
and younger athlete. Yeah.
Best looked like a veteran receiver who knew how to get open out of the slot and was, you know, quick in and out of breaks. But we're talking about one of the fastest players I've ever seen up close and personal. In my opinion, Andrew Hawkins, there's a difference. So people forget Welker 5'9", 190, not a big guy. Hawkins 5'7", probably 175. That's significant, obviously, number one. Number two, Hawkins much bit more of a big play threat than Wes Welker, I think, to be able to catch the ball and take it to the house whenever he could do it. So to me, no doubt about that's an advantage on the Hawks side of things. I just don't think we're going to see an offense for Andrew Hawkins like the ones that Wes Welker plays in, where he gets, you know, 120 targets, and last year 111 targets. That's maybe more realistic. People forget that last year in Denver, Welker had 111 targets, but that was in 13 games, so still about 10 a pop. And there's no way Hawkins is seeing that kind of volume in this offense.
He isn't, because by design, that's what that offense is. This offense, those numbers of touches are going to backs. I mean, a good chunk of those touches wouldn't be, because that's using your passing game like a running game, right? Extended handoffs, and that's how that operates with the Broncos, and really how it operated with the Patriots with Welker there with Tom Brady. In this offense, you can have a Welker-like guy a safety valve, an outlet. You notice today he's usually that second choice because you're looking – the first play usually is going to the outside, then you're looking toward the middle on the second quarterback, second read, and he's right there, bang. And sometimes it is designed to just hit him straight off the bat. But in many cases, in most cases I've watched, he's the second option and a good option. And when he gets open underneath – and I can hear – again, Justin could have put it much better. No, you don't want to cover Josh Gordon. You really don't.
Oh, it's hard to do.
I mean, you want to. The competitor in you, I'm sure, wants to. But there's no easy choice here. And, again, you'd ask most defenders, I'm sure they're gonna opt to try their luck with Hawkins. But with regard to Hawkins, yeah, he can be as much of a pain in the neck for a corner as anybody or a defender or a DB underneath because he's just there. He's in that he's in that no man's land.
He can be anywhere at any moment. And listen, when you look and break down this offense in terms of the passing game, Gordon should be the number one option. Cameron should be the number two option. And then I think Hawkins checks in as the number three option in the passing game, and whoever's the number two receiver would be number four. Now, could it be very different if there is no Josh Gordon? I think, yeah, I think that bumps up Andrew Hawkins' role because we've seen teams that have good tight ends also be able to rely upon a slot receiver to really be kind of the primary guy. We saw Percy Harvin do it in Minnesota. We've seen Randall Cobb take on that role, obviously, for the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. Welker was kind of the number one receiver out of the slot when Gronk and Hernandez were doing their thing in New England. So it can be done. I think certainly the way that things are going and the way things are looking, though, it's that Hawkins will be the third option for this team if when Gordon is on the field behind Gordon and Cameron, which is fine because when he is that third option, he's going to be facing. He's also, when you think about it from a defensive standpoint, the third option that you're worried about in the pass game. Which means he's going to see a lot of single coverage. And as Justin Gilbert, a guy who was the number one cornerback taken this draft, alluded to, he is a handful for anybody in single coverage. And I think Hawkins is going to make a lot of big plays and important plays for this offense because of that fact.
It was encouraging today that Miles Austin got involved in some individual drills. Hopefully that is step one or two, whatever the steps are, toward him getting regularly involved in drills. Need to see him out there. Need to really see what he is bringing to the table for this team, because therein lies some hope of picking up some of the Josh Gordon slack.
Of course.
Right? But we don't know that. We don't know how much of that slack he's going to pick up until he's out there. And certainly wanting to see Nate Burleson involved and more of him. And I don't know, you know, that looks to me like something that's probably going to at least bleed into training camp. But with regard to Miles Austin, I'm troubled that he's not out there now. I'm troubled that there is no sense of how much continuity, chemistry that they can build, the quarterbacks and a guy who figures at the very least to be your number two target to catch as many passes as he possibly can. It's great that the quarterbacks are getting their Andrew Hawkins time while they're getting their Josh Gordon time too, but there really is no one else. And Anthony Armstrong, I'll give props to him. I think he's had a really nice OTA. Not the biggest guy, but he's quick, good hands, runs good routes. There's some encouraging things with him there, but probably more along the lines of a third kind of guy that you can see in your offense on the presumption that Miles Austin is your second guy, on the presumption that Nate Burleson at some point comes in and is getting some reps as a two or a three, and then you figure out where Armstrong fits in that. I'm talking about this would be with Josh Gordon out of the picture and trying to envision, and I'm sure you're doing this too, I'm trying to envision what this receiving group is going to look like. I get a headache doing it because I can't make myself project what these guys are going to look like when they're not out there, the key ones.
It is tough, but I think, you know, it's nice to see Miles Austin taking part and Nate Burleson, to his credit, like a veteran and a guy that's really impressed me, because he could be off on the side just hanging out, doing whatever, and he's out there going through all the individual drills, running, you know, simulating catching a pass because he can't with the cast on. Then he goes over to the side and he's riding the bike. He's doing sit-ups. He's running the hill during practice, and then as soon as it's time for a team session, he's back over there. When it's time for a receiver session, he's back over there learning, coaching, listening, being engaged, being involved. And for a guy that's done it as well as he has and as long as he has, that's impressive. And I think it's another one of the things that a guy like Nate Burleson brings to this team, is showing these young receivers this is how you become, this is how you're a professional.
True.
This is how you stay around in a league where, you know, you don't play very long very often. This is how you stay in the league, you know, for more than a decade. It's by this kind of work ethic, this kind of dedication and this kind of focus. Hour number two, Doug Deacon will be with us. We'll play after further review, but now it is time to hear from you as well. 216-578-0850. Get on the phone lines. Give us your top OTA questions. We will give you our top OTA answers. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.